Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our first reading from the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter. A while ago, I was making a shut-in visit to a very elderly woman. And she asked me a question. She said, "Pastor, will there be lots of singing in heaven?" And I said, "Well, yes, probably so. Scripture, especially the book of Revelation, speaks of the angels and the saints singing the praises of God in heaven." "Well, that sounds boring. If that's all we're going to do in heaven, I don't think I want to go." Well, I was a bit surprised because she was such a devout, faithful Christian woman that she said she didn't want to go to heaven if it's boring. Well, I was caught off guard and my mind started to spin circles trying to figure out, well, what do I say? Well, I reminded her that boredom is a product of sin. We're bored because it seems like time drags on when we're doing something we don't like to do, like standing in line at the bank, or listening to a dull lecture, or doing a task that we abhor. But I said, think about those times when you're at a good movie or reading a great book and 2 hours seems to pass by in an instant. Well, that's kind of the way heaven will be. There won't be any time. We'll never have a sense of boredom. There won't be any sin that will cause us to think, "I'd rather be someplace else." There's only going to be the joy of being in Christ's presence forever. But this pure, imperfect joy of heaven is impossible for us sinners to comprehend. However, God in His grace gives us many things in this world, in this life, that bring us joy. Things that give us an idea of what joy will be like in heaven. First of all, on earth, God has given us the joy of work or vocation. I said that right. The joy of work or vocation. It is through godly labor that we honor God and support our families and we make a positive contribution to society. It is through our work that we fulfill the commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. To serve and love our neighbor with the gifts that God gives us, and therefore we then live through our vocation as God's people in this world. And that brings us joy. Joy in helping others. Joy in using the gifts that God has given us. However, I've noticed that as this culture becomes more and more godless and secular, the virtues of self-responsibility, hard work, and serving my neighbor with my vocation are disappearing. They're being replaced by a different kind of virtue. Really not a virtue of vice, but a new virtue of dependency and blame, where you live off the hard work of your neighbor and you blame everyone else for your problems. That simply isn't Christian. And people who live like that do not know anything about the joy of service. But you know, because of sin, and this is one of the curses of the fall, work is hard. It is difficult. And it is then in our nature to avoid work as much as possible. Because we must now work by the sweat of our brow. Our muscles ache after a long day of work. We live under the stress of deadlines and demanding bosses and professors. We struggle for promotions and raises. We deal with business problems and layoffs. We race to work and then we race home. And after a lifetime of this, well, unless you have a really big coffin, all you take with you is what you came into the world with, which is nothing. People you may not even know get to have the stuff that you worked so hard to accumulate. Well, in heaven, there will be work. But it will be joyful work. One of the elders told John in today's reading, Therefore they, that is the saints in heaven, are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them in his presence. In heaven, our vocation will be to serve God. And that work will be filled with nothing but perfect joy. There will be no sin to burden our bodies and our minds. Our hearts will be filled with nothing but love. It's hard to imagine a workplace without sin, right? Without sweat, without aching backs, without politics, gossip, stress. It's hard to imagine a workplace like that. But heaven will be filled with joy and glory. On earth, God gives us the joy of family. Families love one another, encourage one another, share with one another. They share their stories and their lives. They also share their joys and sorrows. Hopefully you can go home when times are bad to family. The church is a family. But it's a family that is held together and united by the blood of Jesus. And there's joy in family. Think about that. The holidays are approaching. This is a time for families that are spread out all over the country to get together and enjoy each other's presence, to reminisce, to share stories from the past. It'll be a time for laughter, a time to see children and grandchildren. It'll be a time to feast at Thanksgiving or to feast at Christmas. Family is a time for joy. We look forward to these times when family can gather. Very much the same way we look forward to seeing our loved ones in heaven. But in this fallen world, our family gatherings are often far from perfect. There are sibling rivalries, there's old jealousies, there's differences of opinions, and there's broken hearts. Hearts are broken by family members who refuse to reconcile. And hearts are broken by family members that they will never see again. It is for people like this that the holidays can be very, very difficult times. Even in the church, the same problems exist that afflict our families. Jealousy, strife, people wanting to do their own thing, go their own way. And the devil uses these to rob us of our God-given joy as families and as a church. So on earth, we practice love and forgiveness. And we strive for fellowship and family. We have to practice because it will never be perfect. We have to strive for it because we have to battle against sin. Sin wants to divide and destroy everything it touches, and it wants to divide and destroy churches and families. And so we strive. Family is hard work. Church is hard work. But in heaven, there will be no need for forgiveness. In heaven, we will not have to strive for fellowship and family because we will live in perfect love. In sinless fellowship, it is something we simply cannot imagine. What did John see in heaven? After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That is pure joy. That is pure family. There in heaven, John sees people from all walks of life, saints, holy ones, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, along with the angels, all living in perfect, loving harmony. In the family gathering that is the saints in heaven and the angels, there are no disputes, no disagreements, no rivalries, no jealousies, no sorrow, no sadness, no broken hearts. Only the perfect joy of belonging to God's eternal family, where there is no sin and strife. We look forward to that day when we will experience that joy on the great day of resurrection. Because not only will we be with Christ in heaven forever, we will have a great reunion, seeing the ones that we have loved and lost, who believed in Jesus, seeing them again. Oh, what unimaginable joy. And speaking of church, on earth God gives us the joy of worship. The joy of praising God for all of His benefits to us sinners. His grace and righteousness and mercy in Christ Jesus. His Word. God's Word. The joy of having God speak to us and tell us what He wants for us and what He desires to give us. His sacraments. His sacraments that give us assurance, a tangible assurance that God is truly at work in our lives. The tangible assurance that God calls us His family. The tangible assurance that God forgives our sins. In worship, God calls us to gather so that we may receive His gifts. And that He may call us His children. And where we sing to one another, the most joyous songs on earth are written by Christians, for Christians to sing to God and to each other. And here on earth we call the Lord's Supper a foretaste of the feast to come, because as we gather around the Lord's table, we get a glimpse of the eternal feast to come in heaven, that great banquet of the resurrection, that great feast with the saints and angels that will never end. The Lord's Supper is a foretaste of the joy of heaven. But again, in a sinful world, even our worship falters. We're too busy or too tired to worship God, even for 1 hour a week. We're called to listen to the Lord and follow Him, but we listen to the devil, who tells us there are better things to do on Sunday. We listen to a sinful nature that's bored with the Word of God and despises God's call to repent and turn from sin. Our minds think that we're satisfied with just a rudimentary knowledge of God. And so we despise His Word. We listen to a world that shouts, "Me first," and we believe it. So we give ourselves the best, and we give God whatever is left over. Rather than fearing God, we fear a world that condemns anyone who would talk about Jesus. Yes. Our worship isn't perfect either. And for that, we must repent and ask God to help us do better for our sakes and for the sake of our neighbor. But in heaven, worship will be perfect. There will be no reason to repent. There will be no sorrow over sin, because we will not have sin. We will fulfill both the first table of law and the second table perfectly. We will love God with our entire being. We will love our neighbor as ourselves. And we will do so with joy. We will gladly join with those around the throne and sing and sing and sing. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. There'll be no greater joy than heaven. But so we have an idea of this joy. God does give us the gift of joy on earth. But such joy will be short-lived. The things that bring us joy, like work and family and our Christian brothers and sisters, may also bring us strife. But there will only be joyful joy in heaven. So as John concludes our reading today, put your own name in the text. "You shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike you, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be your shepherd, and He will guide you to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from your eyes." In a fallen world, we have no idea what that kind of joy will feel like. So God gives us times of joy here on earth so that we have an idea of heavenly joy. But there will be that temptation, though, that we will look at these earthly times of joy and think that that's all there is. And that's all we'll seek is earthly joy. And really, to find true earthly joy, you have to turn from Jesus. Because Jesus did promise his people that you will suffer and be hated on account of him. This world is not friendly to Christians. The elder there in heaven told John that this world is the great tribulation. And sometimes it's necessary for God to permit tribulation and suffering to fall upon us so that we do not look at this world and see it as home. Because for Christians, this world isn't home. We are sojourners here. We are strangers in a hostile world. Heaven is our home. True joy awaits for us in heaven. It awaits for those who believe in Jesus. It awaits for those who are willing to turn their backs on the joys, the earthly joys, that bring temporary peace and pleasure to the eternal joys that last forever and ever. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees your eternal and perfect joy. So living with the promise of resurrection to eternal life, living with the promise that one day joy, you'll have joy in heaven that you can never compare with anything on earth. And living with the promise that one day you'll be with Jesus and the saints forever and ever, that promise should strengthen you to live as God's people in a world that really does ultimately want to rob you of the joy of salvation. But God has given you his best. He has given you his son Jesus, so that you may have joy. And like Jesus said, your joy may be full, complete. And it will be on the day of resurrection. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen. Will the congregation please stand?